Cindy and I went to a wonderful party last night, and my friend Tom told me a joke, and he said that I could use it this morning, and I didn't have to give him credit, but I'm going to give him credit anyway. How does an astronaut on the moon cut his hair? Eclipse it. I like a good, clean joke that you can tell from the pulpit. I also like to talk about Jesus. I talk about Jesus a lot, and I'm going to some more this morning. Some of you might even say that it's my job, and to be fair, it certainly is a part of my job. But in all honesty, I believe that I have the job because I've been talking to and about Jesus for some time now. I think it is what led me to the job rather than a task that I picked up following my employment as an Episcopal priest. And I would say that we're close, Jesus and me. It's an assumption on my part, and maybe admittedly a dangerous one. People who claim they're close to Jesus typically freak me out a bit. But I do talk to and at Jesus a lot. And I believe my life is qualitatively better because of my relationship with Jesus and with Jesus's community of followers we call the church. That being said, and maybe because we're closer, because of my regular conversations with Jesus, I don't have a problem having a problem with Jesus either. Further, I believe that the ability to have a problem with Jesus and remain close has led me to have even a closer relationship with him. To be sure, I believe him to be God, and I believe him to be my teacher, my rabbi, but I also believe him to be my brother. Or I should say, I take him at his word when he says he is my brother. And that being said, I don't mind finding myself in the position where I might comment, "Brother, I am not sure you are on the right side of this story." I would say that about this story that we have from Matthew, and I would sure say that about some of the things I believe Jesus has nudged me toward or put in front of me in my life. But to be fair, things have turned out pretty well overall for me. After all, my family and I live in Jackson, Wyoming, and we are a part of St. John's Episcopal Church. But we have one of these complicated stories from the gospel this morning where Jesus seems like he's off message or out of step with his overall view of mission or cause, which we know is love. And since I believe that the church isn't just about blind devotion, but also about growth, then I believe we should seek to learn something from the experience, from the story we have in front of us this morning. And I believe that we might also try to apply it to our current lives and context here in Jackson, Episcopalians, August, day before Jackson's Carmageddon. I crack myself up. We have to understand the setting of this story from Matthew 2. Matthew's gospel tells us Jesus left that place and went away to Tyre and Sidon. Now, what we need to understand here is this is Matthew's way of saying Jesus and his disciples went to the beach for spring break. If you've been reading along, we have some sense that both Jesus and his disciples are exhausted. They're tired. Jesus has tried now both unsuccessfully and partially successfully to take some time away. 2 weeks ago, we had the story of him working for some alone time in a boat, but the crowd follows him around by the shore. He did get some alone time last week on the mountaintop, but then he sees the disciples are at sea in a storm, and Jesus walks out onto the water to rescue them and to calm their fears. But now, this morning, they've made it to the beach. They've applied sunscreen. They've stowed their blackberries. And they are settling in for some real downtime. And the story says, in that temporal way, we're meant to hear it immediately. Just as they settle in, a Canaanite woman comes a-calling. She's not from Jesus's tribe. She's an outsider. She's noisy, and she wants Jesus's attention. You see, her daughter is at risk. And she will do anything to find a cure for her daughter's condition. And she believes that Jesus is the answer. At first, Jesus ignores this woman's request. Perhaps he is resting on the beach, but this Canaanite woman is persistent. And she's persistent because her daughter is at risk. Her child, her baby. And it's his disciples who come to him and say, "Hey man, can you do something about this noisy woman? It's spring break and we're trying to chill." And just to be sure we're clear about what exactly the disciples are asking of Jesus, they are asking him to send the noisy woman away. They are not sensitive to her experience, to her daughter's distress. They simply want her to shut up. They want her to stop interrupting their rest, to stop interrupting their agenda. So Jesus responds. He tells her, "You're not a part of my tribe. You're not a part of my cause. Go away. Quit bothering us." And then this woman, this desperate woman, does a courageous thing. She gets down upon her knees and she says, "Please, please, you can help me." When was the last time you got down on your knees and asked someone to help you? You know, I think we hear these stories from the Bible and the fact that this person was on her knees, and we just think, well, that's what they did in those days. They got on their knees. But when life puts us down on our knees, when we are driven down by circumstance, the illness of a child, the loss of a job, the dissolution of a marriage, the death of a beloved, when we're driven down by circumstance, well, it sucks. It sucks. And to be in that desperate place where this woman finds herself, to have her child in real distress, is absolutely terrible. Have you been there? Or rather, have you just been lucky thus far? And don't hear what I'm not saying. I'm not saying that we don't grow, that suffering doesn't provide a mystical and oftentimes unique opportunity for growth. But as a pastor, I've also been witness to circumstance driving folks down so that they never get up again. And I am unwilling to blame them or shame them for not being able to experience post-traumatic growth, but rather experiencing post-traumatic stress. Why? I don't know. I don't know other than there, but for the grace of God go we. life can put us down, and it can happen suddenly and fiercely. And that is what has happened to this woman. But this woman's persistence and her vulnerability interrupt Jesus' need for a vacation, and I'm sure glad it does. We see Jesus, he's clear. Lady, not my tribe, not my cause. Take your need elsewhere. And then her persistence and her vulnerability crack Jesus' fixed thinking. And the love of God is again available, not just to one tribe, but to all tribes. He says, "Woman, great is your faith. Let it be done as you wish." And her daughter is lifted out of her distress, the story tells us. In these times of fixed, closed, tribal, religious, political, ideological thinking, in these times both of fear and violence, in these times of uncertainty, as in those times of uncertainty, as in the uncertainty of all times, I am convinced that the other will be open, cracked, enlightened, brought around to some different way of thinking, unified, if and only if we have the courage to make ourselves vulnerable, if and only if we have the grit to be persistent. I'm not looking to Jesus this morning. I'm looking to a woman brought to her knees in despair because of the distress of her child, willing to be vulnerable so that her beloved might be delivered from her distress. Persistent because, well, it's her daughter. It's her daughter. You know those women then and now? Those women are a dime a dozen. They are here, there, and everywhere. But we have to get proximate to them. We have to put down the piña colada and take the earbuds from our ear and get close enough to be moved by her distress. We have to allow our own agenda to be interrupted. We can't allow a fence or a landscape to obstruct our view of the opportunity to participate in the greatest love opportunity afforded to humankind, to care for those in real distress, to use our God-given resource to restore as much as can be restored. That is our mission. That is our cause. If I have said before, I am for the most part unafraid of violence. But what scares the bejesus out of me is apathy. Our cause is not apathy, but empathy. Turn off the news and get closer. Get proximate. Come alongside. St. John's, the author and creator of the universe, and his son, our brother Jesus, has laid this love work at our feet through the telling of the most amazing and most generative story in the history of stories. And this story is our story. This love work, this work of rendering care, sending aid, attending the distressed, staying open to the interruption of the Spirit, to the reinterpretation of our cause so that more might be loved. This is our inheritance. This is our destiny. And you and I, we, together, we will do what we can with what we have, where we are, so that more might be loved. And we will do an awful lot of good together in this world. And our world is divided, and it needs it. Amen.